welcome to MGP 527. I'm Kevin. With me as ever, there's Sheepdog, Anna and Pab. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
Hello.
Did you all say hello at the same time there?
That was sort of.
Yeah, that wasn't how we rehearsed this. Do we really have to go again? This is getting ridiculous. I don't like this. We're recording on a Tuesday. We've had a week off because we were down in London for EGX, and next week we're unavailable because we're down in London for Comic Con. Because obviously it's great to put those two so close together, and in between, Pab and Sheepdog are going for a dirty weekend together, so we can't do it this week either. So we're recording early, we're in a weird situation. I assume this is still coming out Saturday morning, Pabby.
I like to think so. Yes.
As we record it,
we're talking about a future where the Football Manager beta is out, Spider-Man 2 is out, and none of that's happened in our reality. We need a time machine to be able to do this. How do people record podcasts in advance? I'm very confused.
I mean, if you hadn't said a word, we could have just talked about how great they both were and described them and said, oh, you know, Peter Parker, or he don't half jump about. There's webs everywhere. That man loves a web.
I am in a very risky, difficult situation here. Do we toss a coin and decide whether the beta's likely to have been out or not? And then I can decide whether or not I'm allowed to talk about it. Flip the Pab.
No, we're not doing that, Kevin.
Should we do two versions of the podcast, Pabby?
Once it's in the system and I'm not at my computer, you can't just say take it off because I'm not at my computer anymore to do
and that message. That message will come through at 9 a.m. on Saturday as well. Take it out, Pab.
And I'll be closer to you and Sheepdog than I am my own home.
The thing is, though, Pabby, you were there. You heard it from the horse's mouth at EGX when they confirmed the beta was definitely coming out.
No, they didn't.
You just kept going, Thursday?
And they didn't say no.
They didn't say yes. They just they didn't say a word.
Yes, they just shrugged the shoulders and kind of looked at you and say, nope. That felt like
confirmation to me.
No, it didn't. No.
They gave me a notebook. Hold on. Did I tell you what was written in the notebook? Have I shown you what was written inside the notebook? Let me show you the inside of the notebook.
No.
What was written in the notebook that they gave me. Look, I'm sure, obviously, you lot listening can't hear, but it does say the word Thursday.
That's your writing, Kevin.
It's Kevin's handwriting.
That's just the writing that everyone who plays Football Manager uses.
That's your writing.
It goes with the territory. I've just realised as well, this clearly isn't the one they gave me at EGX IRA. Obviously, had this one previously. Because on the formation page on that one, at some point in the past, I've just written Kevin in every position on the formations on that one.
Maybe they wrote it.
Yeah, it's a 4-4-2 of just Kevin's. So, clearly this is one I already owned. That's very similar to one they gave me at EGX.
Have you made a team of Kevins yet? Like the Kevolution? That should be
I've tried. I've got close, but there aren't enough Kevins that are any good. I'm not gonna sacrifice the integrity of my team just to have
Chapmans?
Great names. There's loads of Chapmans.
Prince Boateng. About the only one I can think
I got into trouble when I challenged Tom FM to do a team of Toms in a streamer showdown. I had to go £100 to charity because he did that, but we both got told off and told we weren't allowed to do that in the showdown anymore.
You got told off?
Yeah, because obviously we made a mockery of the entire tournament. Tom was awful and had no chance of winning. He had a squad of 18, 17 of them were called Tom, and the last one was that Brazilian guy who's just called Lincoln, which I allowed him to have as a special extra one because the boy loves Lincoln. But we're not allowed to do that anymore, and I did have to donate £100 to charity because of it. So, yeah, team of Kevin's probably not going to happen. But yeah, Football Manager, that's a thing that is probably out and you're probably playing it, dear listener. But we are not yet because it is not yet out because of this weird scheduling little quirk because Sheepdog and Pab have to go and do whatever they're doing together off in their cabin in the woods. I wasn't listening to all of the details when you explained why we couldn't do this on Friday.
I'm going to be probably laying next to a pool reading comics and stuff.
He uses the word Pab as his name. Don't use his government name on the podcast. Goodness me.
I'm going to have eaten so much food by this time next week. And I've only been there 24 hours. But I'm going to have eaten that island dry. Does food make islands wet? I don't know. It's going to be barren.
Probably. It depends what kind of food it is.
There's going to be none left.
Yeah. I feel like, Anna, we need to go on an all-inclusive holiday now I've had my gallstone out, because, or my gallbladder out, because when we went earlier in the year, it was a lovely 10-day holiday, but I did have to watch what I was eating the whole time. I didn't have that proper all-inclusive experience of not being able to move the whole time because you're so full of food.
The extra 3 inches of space that the gallbladder was taking up, you can fit a lot of food in that gap.
Yeah. I mean, there were things there as well. There were things I didn't try. Can you imagine? I spent 10 days in a hotel and there were things there I didn't try. That's
I imagine
not
it was
how
the
you
showers
do
and things yeah. like that.
I didn't try the gym. That's for sure.
Was there a gym?
There was a gym. We sat. Remember when we were napping in the sun every day? We were opposite the gym. That's where all the noise was coming from. Those people who were going,
oh, God, they yeah,
were
I remember.
In the gym. Yeah.
I didn't sleep. I wasn't asleep in the sun. I was asleep in the shade.
There's some proper perverts, aren't there? Proper perverts who like will pay to go on a holiday and then work out for.
Oh, I had a half-hour swim every morning because the pool was there. No one else was using it, and it made me feel very smug. Sat around a pool where everyone was just sat around the pool getting drunk and eating ice cream, and I would just jump in there and do my 20 lengths and feel very smug. There's certainly, if I was capable of going on a treadmill and lifting heavy weights, I would absolutely do it for the smugness that I know I would feel just based on those daily swims I was doing. I recommend it. One morning, just get up early and go for a swim when the pool is empty and make it clear you're doing it for health reasons. Swim lengths, no relaxing, no fun. And the amount of smugness you'll feel, it'll be addictive. You'll want to do it every day.
Both know the only way I'm going to be up early morning is if I've pulled an all-nighter getting drunk in the bar.
Are you not taking your children with you?
They'll be there, yeah. They'll probably be getting drunk with me.
Your idea of a holiday is
very different.
Yeah,
we didn't have any alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they'll just have like weird local wine, and apparently they make gin in Mallorca.
What, for your children?
No, not for the children. That was a joke, obviously. But no, I'm hoping they'll just have loads of weird and wonderful stuff. It's weird. When I was reading the reviews, a lot of people were being like, have any Stella or Carlsberg or all this stuff? And I'm like, I only want to go for the weird local stuff they've got. I don't care about all the generic water that I can get here. It's, going there for their weird beers is the good things. It's fun.
And did you establish whether you're on a drinks limit per day or not? Because that was your big fear. That's what you had. When me and Anna went on holiday, it wasn't make sure you have a nice time. It was make sure you find out if there's a drinks limit.
I'd read that post-COVID, they were making it so that people could only have like a certain amount of food and drink each day. And I was like, there's no point doing an all-inclusive if that's going to be the new rule. But from what I understand, this one doesn't have that. Excellent. And yours didn't, did it?
I don't know. We don't drink, so... Well, there was no limit on food and stuff. Yeah. So I guess it's fine. And you chose to take Pabby with you rather than us, which is
Pabby
fine.
Just invited himself along. He's still in my house, from what I understand. He's coming down here and just camping out in my house for the time I'm away, squatting.
He's going to finally sort out your microphone.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Well, last podcast we did sort it out. If it doesn't sound perfect this week, that's
you still point. Sound like an extra from EastEnders. That's the bit that needs fixing. You keep fixing the wrong thing.
Well, we found out last week, listener, that my microphone inexplicably had the gain turned up to the maximum possible setting, and I was sitting miles from it. I was sitting like a good half a meter away from the mic. Whereas this week, the gain is down. I'm talking directly into it. I'm really worried about any noise that I make that sounds like a pee or a whatever. And the letter, not urination. I keep mixing up my words today and it's ridiculous. I had a long conversation with somebody about trying to ring a potential customer for something. And then I happened to need to ring that same company for something else entirely. And they rang me back about 2 hours later and I was like, oh, you'd have to be quick. I've got a phone call from this company in a minute. And they thought I'd like worked my magic and got them straight on the line. When actually I was like, no, I'm just like changing a contract thing I've got with them on my personal contract as a customer. And they were like, oh, and I'd massively got their hopes up because I'm an oblivious idiot who just completely doesn't connect dots. So I keep saying things that get me in trouble today and it's ridiculous. So yeah, Tuesday Sheepdog is not a podcast sheepdog.
Well, there we go. Lesson learned on that one. Right. Have we spoken for long enough at the start of this podcast to be able to get into sticking the boot into EGX? I've got bridges to burn. I want to make sure there's no way we get invited next year because I don't want to get to the summer and be like, you know what? I'm remembering this wrong. I'm exaggerating. We'll give it one more try because I've done that the last couple of years. I don't want to go again. I need to burn some bridges.
See, I don't think that's necessary in a, you know, an action kind of way. But I also feel like, I don't know, I had quite a good EGX. I was in there more than other years and I played games.
But you weren't in there playing games. You were in there with people. That's different. That's my point. That's what EGX is now. It's something you can only do as a social event. It's not... Years gone by, you could turn up to EGX on your own and have a lovely time. It's not possible anymore. You have to go out and do social things. And I don't want to go and do social things with people. People are rubbish. I want to go there on my own, do the things that I want to do, and then leave. And there weren't enough of the things that I want to do. We spent half an hour in there on the Friday, and most of that was trying to convince ourselves to stick around a little bit longer because we had a booking at the Disney 100 exhibition for 3 o'clock, and there wasn't anywhere else we could go between the two. And then we went back in on the Sunday. I did recorded a YouTube video, which is not out as I'm recording, but it will have been out by the time this comes out, which is scathing because I did a full tour of the entire place and it wasn't a long video. And then we queued for an hour and a half to play Persona 3 Reload, which was lovely. And then we left. And I feel like we squeezed that for everything it had and got everything out of EGX it was possible to get out of it in that 2.5 hours tops we stayed in there. It is not the event I signed up for. It's not what it used to be. And it's long enough now since COVID that they've got no excuse anymore. We've given them several years of, circumstances. Balls to your circumstances. TwitchCon has been better than this 2 years in a row. Insomnia was better than it. There's nothing there. I don't know what... I want someone from EGX to come on this podcast and explain to me what it is. And I have questions for them because I don't get it. It's rubbish.
Yeah, all right. I was expecting you to say like, oh, you know, there wasn't any, and I'm thinking, well, I played the Mario game, which I know is a Mario game, but I enjoyed that.
It's already out.
But it's
now.
Out on Friday.
Yeah, so yeah, that's
I played
something
the,
you didn't need to
the
do.
Sonic one as well.
It's
Sonic,
out today.
Which is already out as well. Yeah, that's already out.
But they weren't when I was there. They were just coming out.
Yeah, but
out.
They were out within a couple of days.
They're not worth waiting like an hour to play.
They're not worth £80 for a weekend ticket to go
in. Yeah, well,
I
didn't wait an hour.
I got to play
them quickly, but you're right. Like, I wouldn't have paid. So a friend of mine paid for the 80 quid ticket, and I did say to him, what on earth? And he told me the reason he... Looking back on this, actually, this is quite... I'm not going to raise this to him because I feel like it wouldn't go down well, but he bought the £80 ticket because He thought they were going to have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Competition in there, like a tournament. And his plan was to go in and spend 4 hours a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, playing Yu-Gi-Oh! So he brought the 3 day ticket. He got he a week ahead of it. He went on the site and it said information coming soon. And he stood and updated the list of what was going to happen. A couple of days before it, someone told him there wasn't a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament, and he was devastated because he'd spent all his money on 3 tickets. So he came along just to see us and hang out. And then when he arrived, they were like, yeah, there is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament. And he was like, well, why wasn't it on the site? Why did everyone tell me it was cancelled? Why is there nobody here now? So on that day, he missed it because he got there an hour late and they had like 5 people doing it. Then an evening tournament, the one person turned up to, so they cancelled it. The Saturday, he did play in a tournament, and the Sunday, he played in a tournament as well. He won. He did quite well in them. So he got some like cards and a mat and stuff like that. But in hindsight, I'm thinking about what you just said about paying 80 quid to be there. And I'm thinking he could have probably bought the cards and the mat for a lot less than that. So for him, he enjoyed himself because he got to go and play this card game with a bunch of people. But actually, in hindsight, like, he could have probably gone to a tournament outside of that. Now, I had another friend who was very disappointed because they read on the sign that there was going to be a Mario Kart tournament. They had a schedule that said, play Mario Kart tournaments here, Pokemon tournaments at this time, Smash Bros. Tournaments at this time, and another game that's going to have a tournament in there. So it was the handheld zone. The idea was tournaments at these set scheduled times. So they brought their Switch in and they're all like, I'm gonna sit and play Mario Kart and I'm gonna smash people. I'm really good at this. I'm going to play this tournament and see how I do. They asked, oh, what time does the tournament start? And they were like, it's not a tournament. You just sit and play. And if other people come along and want to play with you, they do. So they had a fun time with the odd person who turned up. But they were very sad that it wasn't a formal tournament where they got to win and be successful. And I had to question who on earth was running that side of it, because they called it, on one hand, they called it all these things and then didn't deliver. And on the other side, they didn't advertise it at all and then didn't deliver. And then,
I mean, organizationally, the whole thing has been a mess this year, from applying for our passes to getting declined, and then everyone got declined, and then, oh, sorry, you weren't meant to be declined, and then everybody got a pass, and there was, we've still not had anyone contact us to say whether or not we've got a panel there this year after having two last year. And I mean, I can, I, as much as I shouldn't, I can kind of forgive them for, you know, if Xbox and PlayStation don't want to come, they can't make them. So, okay, fair enough. You might not be able to do that side of things anymore, but you can organise it properly. You can have the security checks on every day so people can't get in with paint-filled super soakers. You can stop people from hurling abuse at people who are on panels. You know, there's... that you could organise the Mario Kart tournament that you promised. Organisationally, it's been an absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I was ready. I knew you were going to obviously come in hot at this. And I was thinking, no, I had a good time. And then it didn't take you long to convince me at all, because I'm like, literally, my highlight game for that, that I really wanted to play and go and do, and I didn't have to queue for, was obviously my friend's game, Billy Bust Up. It was right by the entrance. I thought I was going to have to go find that, and as I walked in and they were there, I was like, oh, hi, you're right by the entrance. This is amazing. You got your four PCs set out. And then while I was chatting to them, I learned, actually, I could go on their Patreon and play the demo. If I sign up to their Patreon, I can play the demo there. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to risk getting sick by touching a controller and all of this. I'll just... I also didn't want to play it in front of them and suck at it. I didn't want to be really, really bad at it, because I played their other levels and I was really bad at it. Like, I just, I'm not very good at games. And I just thought, playing it in front of them and they've made it and I'm an idiot and I'm probably going to do things that they didn't intend it to do. Because you know what I'm like? I'll turn the opposite way and just be a pain in the butt. So I was like, do you know what? I'll play it at home. Ollie wants to play it as much as me. We'll both play it. But my friend sat and played it for a bit. And then, as I say, after that, we went and did Mario. We wandered around the event. We did Sonic, which didn't have much of a queue. That game was pretty cool, though. But again, both of them are Mario and Sonic. You kind of know what you're getting. I just wanted to check that the controller felt okay and it didn't give me any kind of bad vibe or whatever, but it was fine. I can't think of anything else that I actually touched in there that I actually played. It was, I think we walked around the retro bit and we were like, this is the same retro bit it always is. This is basically...
but smaller.
Yep, yep.
They used to have pinball machines. They were good, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. So I looked at the talks that were on and was kind of surprised at how many empty slots there were. I was a little bit like, you know, we could have probably filled one of them at least, or you could have done your football
manager one. I mean, I had two panels there last year that were both standing room only and really well received. The football manager one, we had to be asked to leave the meet and greet area after an hour after our panel because it was so popular and the queue was so long. And when we applied for the passes, this isn't me just being bitter that they've not invited us back, but you know, when we applied for the passes, it says on the thing, have you got any panel ideas? And I said, well, I'll happily do the two that I did last year, the neurodiversity one, the football manager one. They were both really popular. They've been popular at other events. We'll happily do them. And we haven't even had a no thank you.
Normally
they'll
say no,
seemingly completely ignored. Yeah. And the person who arranged it last year, I'm not throwing them under the bus because they don't work for them anymore. I emailed them and said, what's going on? And they said, yeah, I only work on Comic-Con now. So that's why we're booked for Comic-Con.
Yeah, which has been ran fine. They've done a good job there.
Yeah, so they still know what they're doing. But they were like, they didn't know who was running the EGX side of things. So
wherever they were, it was interesting to me that on the final day I took a picture of the event just because I was standing up. I went to the loo's by the press area upstairs, and as I came out there was a little like window that you could see the event through, and I thought, god, it looks empty for a like Sunday. It wasn't late on the Sunday, it was like 2 o'clock, I think, maybe.
That picture would have been very handy when I was doing my tweets on Sunday night.
Well, so I took what you put out Sunday night and I sent them to my friends because they'd all kind of been like, well, yeah, I had a fun weekend. It was good. And I'd been saying, you know, I had fun with them, but it wasn't like it used to be. And there was a guy that I chatted to in the press area who said this was his first ever one. And I said, look, this is probably my like 11th or 12th at this point. And I was saying that I remember them being multi-floored and having all these extra bits and pieces. And on the picture you put up, it showed they had a whole VR section in 2013. And now VR is a household thing. They don't have Meta here at all. They don't have any VR stuff here at all. That is weird, isn't it? Considering they had a whole like omnidirectional treadmill, VR headsets 10 years ago. The tech has come a long way since then. It's actually got games and platforms behind it now, and they've not bothered to put it in. That's odd.
I mean, you say it's weird that there's no VR tech there. Well, there isn't. I don't know that I saw a PlayStation 5.
There was that VR stuff what we saw. Where were you at, Kevin?
I was at the autism game from last year.
No, Insomnia.
Oh,
Insomnia,
sorry.
There was loads of VR stuff, yeah. TwitchCon, they had a whole VR area where you would wear a VR headset, run around carrying guns, and it was like a big interactive VR extravaganza at TwitchCon. So, stuff like that exists, and it's just
well,
not coming
to EGX.
I was going
to say, there was one VR game there, because the game that we spoke about on the panel last year that had like the game built for autistic people, it like thought about all the things that make me ill and people like me. They were there with their game still, but that again was like only because they brought it and it was them probably getting their Left Field Collection kind of entry in again. But yeah, no, the more I read your sorts of tweets and thought about it, the more I was like, oh God, there are things that are fundamentally missing that they don't have to miss. You know, we saw things at the Gadget Show even that could still be coming to things like this. I mean, the man with the bullet with our name on doesn't bother coming anymore, does he? He's given up on that.
Well, I got the impression from the retail area that they couldn't even sell all the slots because that hand warmer thing was in there twice at both ends.
Ugh.
And that was one of several places that were giving us the hard sell as well, which again, very different to what I've ever experienced at a convention anymore. Me and Pab walked past the hand warmer place. The girl on there was like, hello, boys. No, don't hello, boys, me. I'm old enough to be your father. Does your dad know you're here doing this? Yeah.
Oh, they kept waving at me and I kept...
How would your dad feel if he knew you were flaunting hand warmers? Goodness me. Put them away.
I did a very granddad thing while I was there and took a picture of the... I'm just looking through my phone quickly. There was like an ice cream van giving away sweets and they had their music blasting.
Oh, they did, yeah.
And I took a photo and I was like, I'm sending that to them and I'm going to ask them to not have something like that next time because it's really irritating when you're standing there. I was queuing for this. I mean, we didn't know what it was and it turned out to be a bloody scavenger hunt go round, you know, playing quizzes in phone booths. So we didn't bother finishing it. But the whole time they were blasting music out from their little sweetie stand thing. And it was like, mate, turn it off. Like, just turn it off and sell your sweets at some better way rather than being a pain in my ears.
Yeah. But, that's who was playing Only Fools and Horses that I thought was Super Mario.
Yeah, that was bonkers, wasn't it, when they were playing that?
Just playing Only Fools and Horses. I was like, why is the Super Mario booth playing Only Fools and Horses? And then realised it was that ice cream van behind it that was just booming that music out on repeat. It repeated it 3 times, I think, I want to say.
Yeah, Bazooka Mix-Up. So they were just selling chew candy, as they call it.
And they were just trying to draw attention to themselves, weren't they?
Yeah, but it put me off going anywhere near him. And I bet I wasn't. I mean, they never seemed to have anyone particularly there. Like,
there was nobody there.
I was
not inclined to go over there because they would be made a fuss of. I was like,
yeah, because they were dancing and they made people dance with them. And I thought that's fundamentally not understanding the British psyche there, that trying to get people to dance. Madness.
But we did make an effort to hunt out any games that are not due out until next year. Because, you know, we figured, let's try and do this properly. So we did find the two in there. The two, like, I'm not counting the indie stuff. Indie stuff, as far as I'm concerned, I'll stumble across it or I won't. I'm not going to a convention like this to play the indie games. But we did manage to pick out two games that are not due out until next year. Prince of Persia, which we did play. We had to play it on Switch controllers because
we're in the hand. It was in the handheld zone,
There wasn't a Prince of Persia stand. It was a bunch of decorating tables with a fence around them, and we sat. There wasn't even headphones, and there was just a bunch of Switch controllers, I guess.
Yeah. Not held so together. Two separate Switch controllers as well. Mind. Ugh.
So we had a go on that, and like I said, we queued up for Persona 3 Reload as well. Both of those games, I think, are due out in February. So there were a couple of games there that are not out already or out before the podcast releases, but there wasn't much of it, and we had to really hunt it out to find them. But I've not played a Prince of Persia game for many a long year. Is this what they're like now, or is this a reboot?
No, this is... they haven't done a Prince of Persia game since 2000.
Long time.
Really?
Like,
yeah, before,
I feel like there was one on the Xbox.
At least 10 years. At least 10
years. Am I going back to Xbox 360? Maybe I have played the most recent one.
Realistically, Assassin's Creed kind of took the mantle from Prince of Persia. That became the more popular brand, and Prince of Persia dwindled, so they just kind of put it on the back burner. Because the original Assassin's Creed started as a Prince of Persia game. So that franchise blossomed, and the other one kind of wilted. But so this one is coming back, and they're not going all massive 3D. It's just 2D game. I thought it looked very nice.
It's like the Assassin's Creed games that are side scrollers. The three of them, China, Russia, and whatever it is. Yeah,
a little bit. And it's from the.
I like a bit of side scrolling clambering.
Yeah,
it's fun.
And it's from the people who made Rayman Origins and.
Oh, I love Legends.
Rayman, was it Legends? Second one?
Legend.
Yeah.
Rayman's Legends.
Yes, which are very good games. Very good, very well made. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That one's out in January. There is another, I think one of the Yakuza games, Like a Dragon games, is out in January as well, I think.
One was December, and then...
I think one's either January or February next year as well.
I'll level with you. I didn't realise there were two of them there. Yes. I don't really know anything. Why have they got two coming out close together?
One's a main story and one's like a spin-off story.
Okay, I'll allow it. I've never played any of these, so I wasn't going to queue up for that.
They're ridiculous games.
Persona 3 Reload was awesome. I've never played the original Persona 3. When they re-released it last year, I got it downloaded on every device I own. So I've bought it like four times. But I went straight back into replaying Persona 4 Golden and then Persona 5 The Royal. So I've played through both of the like remade versions of those in the last year. And I kind of had Persona 3, the re-release, sat there in my head to get to at some point. And then Reload was announced. So I thought I'd wait for Reload. So no idea storyline-wise what to expect from it.
No.
But graphically it was clearly made in the Persona 5 engine.
It just
like Persona 5.
That's not a bad thing.
Persona 5 is one of the most beautiful games I've ever played.
Yeah.
Musically, I don't know if they just haven't added the soundtrack yet, but there wasn't your typical Persona catchy music playing in the background in the bit that we did.
Also, the way you get your personas to appear is a bit
It's brutal in 5 as well. You rip a bloody mask off your face in 5.
Yeah, but that's
in
fine.
In 3, you shoot yourself in the head.
Weird.
You know, Persona's always had that little bit of weirdness to it. And I'm not going to object to a little bit of weirdness. But we got a 15-minute demo. We queued for so long. They only had, bearing in mind how empty this hall is, they had 12 machines doing 15-minute time demos for the most queued for, most popular game in there. And so we queued long time.
They had two games, didn't they?
Yeah, they had Persona 5 Tactica on the other side as well, I am not into that kind of thing. There wouldn't be because
I think Sheepdog might like it.
I want to play it.
It's Persona XCOM. Interested. Excellent. But there was a massive queue for.
I was half listening then when I heard Pab say Sheepdog might like it, but Persona XCOM. I mean, I need to play Persona as well. I need to. Just...
I don't know why you don't. You would love these games.
I mean, they're like 100-hour games, and I don't have 100 hours to play a game in.
But you
You do. Spend less time being a social justice warrior on Twitter and use that time playing Persona.
That on the toilet. I'm not playing games on the toilet.
You've got a Switch, haven't you? It's perfect on the Switch.
I don't take my Switch out of the dock. I was asked to bring my Switch to London the other day, and I've got to admit I hated every moment it wasn't in its dock.
Mine went to Tenerife. And
I don't think mine's coming.
Mine's just lying on my desk now with the dock on the cupboard next to it. I've not even got them connected when they're in the same room. But yeah, Persona 3 Reload. Beautiful, wonderful stuff.
Right? Yeah. It wasn't bad.
Cannot wait for this.
Have you played a Persona game?
I'm giddy
game
with excitement.
I mean,
it's.
Let's be honest.
I'm trying to review the damn thing. You lot are just talking all over me, aren't
Sorry.
You? Goodness me. carry on chatting amongst yourselves.
I just asked Pat if he's ever played one because he obviously played that demo with us. I was asking him if he'd played any others.
I was going to say, is this what the combat's like in the Persona games? Because I've only ever played the first hour of any of these games, so I've never seen combat in a Persona game ever. I just need conversations.
I was a little bit disappointed that we had two options for the demo. We could play going straight into a boss battle or straight into wandering around through the whatever they call mementos in three.
The demo got teed, didn't it?
Yeah, the bit where you are going from level to level in the dungeons, which is always, certainly in 4 and 5, that's the extra bit that you don't even really need to do. You just kind of go in there to grind and level up a little bit. But we didn't have the option to do the best part of Persona, which is just hanging around in the real world having conversations. So I haven't seen how that side of things runs. I assume it's more of the same. But yeah, I am giddy for this. It's coming out on Xbox Game Pass as well when it comes out. So in addition to me buying it on PlayStation and Switch and Steam, I'll be able to get it on Game Pass as well. So I'll be able to get this one four times on launch day and then play through all of them back to back to back. And my February is going to be wonderful just playing through this. I'm very excited, very much looking forward to it. We also got a lovely little pin badge on the way out. So yes, that's my second Persona pin badge in 2 years, because we got a Persona pin badge at, I think, Comic-Con last year.
Yeah.
Was that Sega's thing this year? Because I got a Sonic one from them as well. They handed me a Sonic, what's it called, Superstars one.
They probably go a long way. Giving a little pin badge, it probably doesn't cost them much to do it. It probably goes a long way because people love that sort of thing. So yeah,
I prefer the Sonic.
I was upset when I realised that there was 8 different versions of the Persona 3 pin. So if the queue hadn't been 2 hours long, then I absolutely would have gone around it 8 times just to try and get them and get some swapsies. Me and Anna got the same one, but I've got a girl in a pink jacket. I don't know any of their names yet.
Hold on,
a pink jacket.
I'll bring the wiki up. I had the wiki up.
Excellent.
I got
a girl with pink jacket and briefcase.
Pink jacket and briefcase, okay.
Is who we've got.
Maybe Yukari. Yukari Takeba.
Oh, yeah, it says on the back, Yukari.
Does it?
Oh.
Yeah, on the
just
little
the
box.
Badge name, did you? The company that makes the badges.
Yeah. But one of them's called, well, if anyone else has got their box in front of them, there's one of them who's the fifth name on the list at the bottom of the box on the back. How would you pronounce that one, Babby?
The fifth name? I can't see. I haven't got the light on.
The fifth name. It's. I'll spell it for you. F-U-U-K-A. How are we spelling that?
Fuka.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuka.
I am devastated I didn't get Fuka.
You've been called that plenty of times, though, haven't you? Did either of you play either the Mario or the Sonic games that were there, or did you?
No, because we already know whether we're getting them or not.
Well, to be fair, if we hadn't have queued for, like, say, at least an hour on Persona, we were planning it, because this is the thing. Like you said, if we were walking to the Persona booth, and I said to Kev at the time, it feels like it's Sunday at 5 o'clock rather than just gone
it was
one.
Like 11 yeah it was
it just
yeah,
it wasn't
that
late,
it was
really
lunchtime,
and
yeah,
it was pretty empty, and there were switches with Mario Wonder on with no one on them.
That's why we went on it. My friend was like, look, there's like two there that are empty, and then we sort of went to the thing and they said, oh, are you a group of three? And they were like, yeah, come over to this bit over here because we've got three empty over here. And we were like, oh, okay. So we just kind of walk through the barriers a bit. But that one also turned off after like however many minutes, which I thought was a bit, I don't know. I was like, the queue's not long enough to warrant this. I'd have turned that feature off maybe. But it was fun changing into an elephant. When I saw that on the advert, I thought that's a bit random. But yeah, being able to smash through things. They've added a lot of cool new Mario things to this. There's like thwompy things that move left and right and react when you're underneath them, and they can change direction. You can use them as platforms and stuff like that. It's a lot of evolution on stuff they used to do. You can drill. There's a hat you can use to drill into the ground and go around obstacles and stuff. Very cool. Lots of stuff. It also seemed a bit like the flowers they get in that make them act like they're high or something. It was a bit random. Like you touch a flower and something. But it was fun. It was cool. And you can, by the looks of it, you can play as like Mario, Peach and all of them. But you can also just choose to be a Yoshi. And I don't know if other people can ride the Yoshis, but Yoshis can't use items.
Yoshis can't use items, and I might be wrong in this. I think I am wrong. They don't take damage. I know that.
Oh, that
I know
is
the,
random.
I know
I
the rabbit.
Helps me,
you know,
help
the,
my son.
You know the little rabbit fella. There's a rabbit character, isn't there?
They're immortal. I remember that one.
They're invincible. They can't die. But like you say, you can ride the Yoshi. So say you wanted to, you could be the Yoshi and say you could help your son get across a platform that's just he's finding hard to do, so you could assist with that sort of thing. I think that is a very good feature that they've done.
Yeah.
Doing that, giving them all the options.
Normally in the Mario games as well, if you're Mario, you just jump. Luigi can obviously just run in the air, and the princesses drift a bit with their dresses. But in this, they all just whip out a hat and glide using that. So it's like they all had...
Yes, they all have the same...
I'm not sure how I felt about that, because that's not differentiating the characters. There's no reason to play as each one. You could just pick which one you like and play it. Whereas it's almost a different experience playing as the princess over playing as Toad. Toad's normally a harder way to play the game.
But Luigi's got to jump, yeah.
It was good, though. I'm looking forward to getting it and playing. The demo wasn't co-op either. I was expecting that to be in the same as Sonic.
It wasn't co-op?
Oh, no, sorry. Mario was, Sonic wasn't. Mario was co-op. I know that I played it on my own, but two of my friends played it together.
Playing co-op. Yeah.
Sonic was supposed to be a co-op game, and the whole idea is you play us all four characters and run through the levels together.
Yes.
But we weren't allowed to play it in co-op, so we all had to play it on our own individually at different parts of the booth. I'm so dumb that I did the first act of the world that I picked, and then I thought I was finished and got up and left, and then watched my friends have to do the second act and the boss and this, that, and the other, and I felt a bit stupid that I'd assumed, because it said, oh, the boss is there's a boss and then you're done, and I had to do this thing where this giant thing was chasing after me, and I got killed by it like twice because I was so rubbish at it. I was playing as Tails, and I kept walking into a wall, and then every time I tried to jump over it, I took off and flew and got killed. So that was a bit frustrating. But what I found was the levels have like four different special stages in them now. There's like the Sonic 1 special stage in the maze thing. There was this like thing where you have to fire you have to aim at a dot and then you swing, and you've got to try and swing after the Chaos Emerald. And then there was another one you could do that was like you won medals for doing that one. I can't remember exactly what you had to do for it now. But then I had also seen a fourth one that I didn't get to see when I was playing it. And they're all in that same level apparently. So I thought that was interesting that there was lots of stuff to do. A friend of mine said it to them, it felt like it was constantly derailing them from enjoying the level itself. Like they were trying to run through the level and explore and have a look around, and they'd get a bit of momentum going, and then suddenly they'd be hit by a ring or the other one was like a black hole that sucks you in, and then you float through it, try to get all the rings and avoid all the obstacles, and then you go through another black hole and you're put out at the other side of the level somewhere. And they were like, I was just trying to run around and this black hole swallowed me in, or I got thrown into a ring, and it's like, just let me do the level. I wanted to have a look around and enjoy the game. And you're just like constantly, it's like you're going, look at something else we've got. We've got something else over here. And I kind of saw their perspective as, yeah, they're right there. It felt
too
eager.
That's a demo though, isn't it?
Sorry?
That's a demo that they're trying to show you.
I suppose you're right. It's introducing it all in level one. But they were kind of like saying it just felt like the game was worried about you getting bored if it left you to it. And they were very satisfied being left to it. They didn't need constant like nudges. But yeah, you're right. The demo maybe had more of that to really show all the stuff. I don't know whether level one will have that.
Well, when we went past, I saw one of the level. I can't remember if it was. I think it was Sonic 2, where you have like Sonic is in a ball and hitting all the things, and I can't.
Yeah,
explain.
It was a
bonus like a big
stage,
maze.
I think, yeah.
And I was like, that can't be what's in the new Sonic game, because I remember that playing that as a kid and getting very frustrated of it, because like you're trying to get to the emerald or whatever was in there, and then you'd get dinged to another place because the map had turned around. I used to get so frustrated with that.
Yeah, I didn't like that special stage. No. So I'm hoping that's not in there as a main one. That'd be very sad. I've got a feeling this one of the Sonic games had an extra like a new Super Sonic, like a Super Sonic 2 or something. I don't know if that's this game or the one that was out last year. I had someone talking about it, and I thought, is that a new feature in this one that Sonic can go another level of superness? But it'd be interesting if you can. I'll see what they do. I'm still, like, my son's won it. We'll play it. I said to him, we can play co-op together. I'm looking forward to that. But, I felt like it looked beautiful, but it was like, I don't know. I found it quite hard in places, and it had the very awesome Sonic, you know, the Sonic CD style cartoon drawing where it's like looks very pencil-y. I had that, and that looked awesome, and that made me very nostalgic. But yeah, I enjoyed that, and as I say, I didn't play anything else. My friend was doing the Yu-Gi-Oh tournament, which was very quiet and empty, I thought, because they didn't advertise it well. And I'm guessing you guys did nothing else. Is that right?
Well, there was one other thing there, one other playable game that I got excited about when I looked at the map, because when you look at the map of EGX from this year, there's a little rectangle on there that says Forza. And I was like, okay. Now, early access to Forza was already out, but the game itself didn't come out until after we got back for like general release on Game Pass. So I thought I'd have a little look at that while I was there. It wasn't Microsoft showing it. It wasn't anyone who worked on the game showing it. It was a company who were making racing chairs. And they labelled it as the Forza section, which again, that is naughty, EGX, because that was a place where they were trying to sell you gaming chairs. That was not a proper way to go and try out Forza. So that upset me as well. What I have done, though, is played it since. So to segue beautifully away from EGX, which I'm sure we'll all agree, we had a lovely time at. 10 out of 10 event. But I have downloaded and played a bit of Forza, amongst other things, since we've been back. I've probably played 4 or 5 hours of it. And it's, I guess it's exactly what you'd expect from a Forza Motorsport rather than a Forza no. Horizon. You lot don't like me reviewing games, do you? Goodness me. Always being heckled. But it very much reminds me of the original ones back on the, was it the 360 or the original Xbox that the original Forza came out on, where it is just a case of get a car, upgrade the car, you race to earn credits to upgrade your car. You can then do all the tuning of your car. I might have to download the app again that I had years ago to get the correct tuning settings for each one of my cars that I used to have back in the Xbox 360 days, and then tune your car to then go back into the races and earn more credits to be able to buy more upgrades, buy more cars, enter more races. There's none of the in-betweeny bits or just driving around aimlessly and stuff like that that you get in Forza Horizon. It is very much you race to buy cars and to upgrade cars, to race, to buy cars, to race. If you are a collector and if you're really into cars, I could see you having an enormous amount of fun with this, because the fact that they've taken the numbering convention off it is just Forza Motorsport again, or Forza, as it always says in the stupid intro stuff, but it is just Forza Motorsport, and I very much get the impression it's going down their software as a service model, subscription style gaming, regular content releases. They've already got little bits of season pass and DLC content that is on there. And I just get the impression the idea of this is they are just going to be regularly releasing new cars, new ways to upgrade those cars, and new races to race those cars in. And if you're into this kind of thing, you will have an absolute whale of a time. I actually quite like it, even though I'm not a car guy. I like trying to get as close as I can get to my own car or cars that I've owned in the past, dress them up like Batman, and then and then upgrade them as far as I possibly can. So at the moment, I'm just playing in a Vauxhall Astra, because I once had a Vauxhall Astra, and I don't want to race in any of the fancy supercars. I want a Vauxhall Astra with Batman, with the Batman logo on the bonnet, and I want to get that as souped up as I possibly can. It keeps telling me to buy more cars. Forget buy more cars. I want to upgrade my Batman Astra and just keep racing that. And I'm having a nice enough time with it. For me, as a not a car guy, there's not going to be enough to convince me to put in 20 or 30 hours like I might in a Forza Horizon, where you've got more of a storyline and more in-betweeny bits to do. But if you like cars and you like racing and the tracks, because it's got all the real life tracks and stuff on there as well, I surprised myself with remembering some of the tracks from older Forza games and actually I got rewards, like loyalty rewards, for coming back in as someone who's played these games previously. And it was like, yeah, I do remember some of these tracks. There's Maple something or other is one of the first ones you go on. Yeah, the Maple Syrup track. And I remember back in the old Mature Gamer Forum days, are we legally allowed to talk about them yet? But before the podcast actually was a thing, and it was just little old me on this little old forum, we had it was probably Forza 2 tournament, and we had to set a time trial on this particular track in order to sort out the way the tournament would be structured. I can't remember the details, I didn't arrange it, but I do remember spending a Saturday afternoon driving around that track trying to shave microseconds off of my lap times and it's exactly the same and it all just comes flooding back. The muscle memory is there. So it is cool to get all the old tracks, all the real cars and just mess around on it. I won't play it a lot, but I'll dip into it every now and again when I want to have a little race. And it is.
Well, you were last night telling me to turn off the rain. I didn't know what that meant.
Well, because it was raining and it was making me slip around. That's the other thing about Forza. It's a simulatory jobby. So when it's raining, my car slips around.
Yeah, but you still came first.
Yeah, well, it's because I play on 4-year-old's difficulty. With all the driving assist on. Yeah. I don't need to touch the brake. I just need to hold down the right trigger and vaguely point it in the right direction. Follow the line that's on the track.
I thought it was supposed to be like rain tyres or something.
I'm not faffing around with it. Do I look like an engineer to you?
I don't know. Yeah, but there must be like an option to say like slap some, I don't know, corn flour on the tyres.
I ain't messing around with all that. No. I just want to drive my Astra with an engine that's too big for it and have a lovely time.
I bet if your car had some of those, you know, the things they put in packages that suck the moisture out to keep the insides dry. My bag's got one in that I never removed.
Well, I'll poke one into the disk drive of my Xbox.
Well, no, I'm just thinking if you could get your car...
You don't have a disk drive.
And you poke a load of them into the tyres with a pin them all in, all round the tyres, and that'll stop them getting wet when
you're driving. Well, I thought double-sided tape around the tyres might be
the plan. Yeah, a pin
would
keep them on safer.
Yeah, maybe. I'll give it a try. And obviously, because it's a Microsoft game... It's on Game Pass. So if you've got Game Pass, and as we've said a million times, you should have Game Pass. Yeah. So if you've got Game Pass, just play it. It's a freebie. I mean, you need some decent internet. It's like 120 gigs worth of download.
Jeez,
so it did take a couple of minutes to download.
I might have started downloading while I go away and just get it. That would take 120 seconds, wouldn't it? But
I was going to say, if you've got good internet, it's not a big deal. But it takes up some storage. Whereas I had to delete some things off my hard drive to be able to fit it on. But it's well worth trying. And in fact, Game Pass in general is looking very snazzy for the next couple of weeks. Because in the next couple of weeks, F1 Manager comes to Game Pass. City Skylines 2 comes to Game Pass. And of course, Football Manager 2024 on Game Pass as well. That's all in like the next 3 weeks. So if you like management-y kind of games, you are... Again, you've got to have Game Pass over the course of the next month because they're all there, all in one go.
It's a good time to have 3 dirty weekends in a row, didn't there? 4 dirty weekends in a row.
Exactly. You are a silly bear. And then just to wrap things up for your old pal Kev, Pabby, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Putting things in my head and using up my hours, you monster. Because I listen to you and I trust your judgment and I value your opinion on these things, Pabby, I thought I'd go back and give Cyberpunk 2077 a go off the back of your glowing review on our most recent episode with obviously the 2.0 update. I haven't got the DLC. I'm just playing the base game.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Well, again, can I please say my piece first and then you can pick your bones all you like? Goodness me, I can't get a sentence out here today. I've got it downloaded. When I played it originally, I only played like the first 10 hours or so before I just gave up and just stopped because it was a broken, stupid mess. But I think as of this evening, when I was still playing it, I am about 30 hours in now. I'm doing all the side missions. I am having a lovely, lovely time with it. This is probably, if we remove the obvious stuff like Football Manager and Pokemon and Persona, this is probably my favourite game that I've played in the last 5 years. I am loving it. It is really, really good. And when it comes to us talking about Game of the Year, we're going to have some conversations about whether this 2.0 update counts as being a whole new game. We're going to have some conversations, Pavi, because it is like a different game. It actually works now for a start.
That's very reassuring. It's sat on my desktop. I've got it installed and everything, and I've had it installed since Christmas.
It does make me wonder why they couldn't just, you know, wait a year and release it actually working the first time.
Like in all industries, executives are idiots and they ruin everything, and that's what seems to be happening. I was chatting to someone earlier about how the film industry is too scared to do anything interesting these days, and they're all like, we'll give you the money but we want it back in 5 minutes. I imagine this game was like, we'll give you the money to make the game but we want it back now. Give me the money back now. And they're like, well, it's not finished yet. And they're like, well, we want the money back. So
it is genuinely brilliant now. So if you tried it way back when and gave up because it was rubbish, give it a go. If you avoided it way back when because of the reviews and knowing that it was rubbish, give it a go. It is genuinely outstanding. And I will play through the entire game. I will get the DLC and I will have a lovely, lovely time with it because it is great. Anna, pick your bone with me.
I prefer the old one. I prefer
what, the broken one that didn't work? Yeah. What are you saying?
I prefer, because I went and I have a little there. Excuse me. I installed it. I'm thinking, okay, I'll give this 2.0 a go. And I was playing through it and I was going, the clothes have no stats on them. Where has that all gone? Because I love doing all that kind of stuff. I like stats on stuff. There's no stats on clothes. There's no gun attachment that you can add to a gun to make it non-lethal for the psycho freaks. The skill tree is just awful and complicated and just doesn't explain anything. Because you have to have so many of these points so you couldn't unlock so many of that. I don't like any of that. I just don't like it. Like, I like all the graphical side, but I don't like where they've taken, like, all the RPG out of it.
What you described there for me is they've taken all the waffly nonsense that I don't want to do about it, and yeah, it's now just pure story. I've got it on super easy mode.
Is there a way I can go back?
Which means when I'm doing the missions, like, I've just done one of the relatively early missions, but because I've been doing side missions, I haven't done much of the main story stuff. But there's a relatively early mission where you basically have to invade a big warehouse. And I imagine if you play this game properly, there's quite a lot of fighting and shooting and stuff that goes on there. I literally just picked up my big hammer, ran towards the waypoint. Anyone who got in my way on the way got hit on the head with a big hammer, but everyone else just got entirely ignored. And what could have just been this horrible, gamey, shooty nonsense.
It was just
a thing that I got out of the way in 90 seconds and then just got back into the story again. And I am having a lovely time just playing through a really, really cool story and not having to worry about any of this game stuff. The skill tree thing, I just went on the internet and typed in what is the best build for Cyberpunk. And now I'm doing that. And I'm just following that. I don't need to worry about what clothes I'm wearing. Half the time, I'm entirely naked. So I don't have to worry about the clothes that I'm wearing, the weapons that I'm holding. I don't really have to worry about being able to do any combat because I am unkillable and everyone is a one-shot kill, and it's beautiful, lovely, easy, and just enjoying the really excellent story, particularly on the side missions. You know, I'm not normally a side mission guy. But I'm, story-wise, this is up there with the likes of Detroit and Heavy Rain story-wise stuff for me.
It's, you really like futuristic, really, really, really good.
I like a futuristic, story-driven game. I'm too old to be messing around exercising my fast twitch muscles and all that kind of nonsense. I just want a nice story, and this is an excellent story. So that's all I need, and I'm having a whale of a time with it. And no, I don't think there is a way you can go back and play the old one. Unless,
so
I guess... I mean, you can't even take the disc and play it without it being updated, can you? Because games consoles don't let you do... Oh, I guess you could start with a fresh PlayStation, never plug it into the internet, and put the disc in. I don't know if it would let you play it.
Because,
and I don't know if it would be playable, but that might be the only way.
Yeah, because it does come with a data disc and then the game disc, so maybe one day I can go back and
but
play
even
the
then
old
remember how broken it is.
I liked it.
It was unplayable.
I didn't find any really problems. Like, yes, there wasn't many people on, like, when you were driving, and there was a few hiccups, but gameplay
I would frequently be driving and my car would stop and I'd carry on driving.
You did get on your bike the other day completely naked, though. That was funny to see.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Most of the time I'm naked. Because why wear clothes?
Yeah. Well, because they used to have stats on them.
Normally on PlayStation, isn't there like a way you can press a button or options or something on it and it will let you pick which version you want to play?
The PS4 or the PS5. I don't think you can go pre-game fixing update as an option.
No.
Because why would they want people playing the broken version?
Because I liked it.
I think you were the only person in the world who did, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I know a few people who did enjoy it.
I enjoyed it. I nominated it for Game of the Year.
Who play games often, but you know, I've known lots of people who enjoyed it and told me to get it, and that's why I got it. I didn't realize I wasn't gonna play it for a year, and I also didn't realize they were gonna do a whole patch that would make it awesome, but very cool. And
well, the gaming community was like, "Make this better. Who made The Witcher? Make this better, please." So.
Yeah, but it's very rare for a developer to actually then go and do it when stuff like that happens.
I mean, No Man's Sky, they did the same. The community shouted out.
No Man's Sky.
And they completely changed it. So it
happens. Finish your games, idiots. Finish your games before you release them.
I think what happened there was...
And take them to EGX.
Yeah, please take them to... Well... We'll
take
see.
Something to EGX, please. Actually, don't bother. Take them to Gamescom, because that's where I'm going to be next year. They're going to have to pay me to get me back to EGX. If I'm at EGX next year, you can be damn sure I'm getting paid to be there. That's the only way it's happening. Unless they inexplicably manage to come out and say, well, we have got Microsoft and Sony and Ubisoft and EA and Activision and whoever else. They're all there. They're all back. Because- And then like, I might tag along.
Like you said, like Ubisoft, there used to be a massive Ubisoft, the last one I can remember.
I remember the massive Assassin's Creed set that was awesome.
We played
Prince of Persia on decorating tables in a dark corner. The contrast was astonishing.
It used to be Ubisoft who would have the music blasting out and make it really hard to cope with how noisy they were. And this year it was this bloody sweet cellar. But Ubisoft used to be... Yeah. I thought when I got there and there was noise, I thought Ubisoft were there. And I was like, oh, cool. And then it weren't them. It was the bloody sweet shop. And I was like, oh, okay. Not cool.
Even the normal sweet boy that's normally there. Nowhere to be seen.
The normal sweet boy. What does that
mean? You know what?
I was there.
The sweet guy... I didn't see a pub. Oh, no.
There wasn't a drinks company in the middle giving me far too much caffeine for...
we didn't even get the Diet Cokes that we've had the last couple of years. I mean, obviously we had those few years where it was energy drinks everywhere, but yeah, didn't even get
zero,
the Diet
wasn't
Coke.
It?
And goodness me, I mean, I'm out of this contract now, so I can say this and you know that I mean it. Would have loved Mitchum to be there. Goodness me. Even with it not being that busy, it's still got stinky in places.
Yeah. So outside of the event, again, one thing I did over the weekend that was a gaming related, well, it is gaming, but it's just not video gaming. I played Dungeons and Dragons for the first time, D&D.
Nerd.
I feel like I'm shocked that the four of us have never played it.
No, because we played What's Your Meme or whatever it was. Very funny.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I feel like at some point in life, we should be doing a D&D campaign. We were supposed to be a one shot. It was supposed to be three tasks that we were going to do across that evening. It was like there was a jobs board that said there's a dragon that's attacking an area nearby. We had three jobs. We had to go and warn this bunch of dwarves that they were in danger. We had to go and get something that was going to help us stop the dragon. And we had to go and warn this witch dwarf person that they were in danger, but also just convince them to leave the house for a bit.
I'll tell you why we've never done this.
Go on.
Because all of the things you've described there, we could do in video games, and we like them.
Yeah, but it's fun because we spent a little bit of time on this app that my mate pays for. We didn't have to do this; we could have done it on paper. But the app was quicker because it just asked you questions: "So, what race do you want to be?" You picked a race. I was a dwarf rogue, so I was like a little thieving dwarf with high charm and high charisma and high persuasion.
We're in opposite land.
And I didn't plan on I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to talk in a voice and all of this, but I'll try and be in character when I'm playing it. And I was just being cheeky and they wanted to go and rescue. They wanted to go warn these dwarves. They were mountain dwarves and I was a hill dwarf. And I was like, I don't want to go and tell those, bumheads anything. I'm not interested in them. Let the dragon have its way with them. I don't care. We don't get on, but I went with them anyway. And, I kept being very chaotic, and it was very, very fun because I'd be like trying to persuade people to give me more information. I asked them to pay us to do a task for them. They said they didn't have any money, so I tried pickpocketing them to see if they had any money. They caught me doing it. They threw a rock at me, so I was like, oh, okay. Whipped out my crossbow. One of my teammates then beat me up to stun me to stop me from abusing the quest giver, and it just rolled on from there. It was very, very fun. Weirdly, I stopped being chaotic at that point because I wasn't actually planning on shooting them. I was planning on threatening them, but my mate didn't ask. We went on the mission a little bit further. I went from being the rash one. Any time I was rash, it paid off. We got gems. We found a pit of gold. We opened a door. He was rash once and he blew up a statue and half killed himself. And then I was the one who was threatening everyone at first and it was just backfiring and hurting me. One of them tried to do it and ended up striking everyone with lightning, murdering two people. And then that's where we ended it because it was supposed to be a very quick go and warn these people and head home. We've got the law after us and it's all gone to pieces. And I didn't realise actions have consequences. And the person who was DMing for us was like flicking through the pages going, well, no, you've murdered them. It has to go down this route now. And it's kind of following the story in the route in the book. And I'm fascinated. It's like you're loosely following the rails of the story, which are loose, and the DM is doing a lot of the carrying on that. But you have free rein to just be like, oh, you threw a rock at me, I'm going to shoot you with a bow now, and it'll just adapt. It'll be like, oh, they're dead, so you've got to adapt the story a little bit. I think we'd have great fun. If we had someone who could DM for us and the four of us played it with them in charge, I think we'd have an amazing time because we'd all just be cheeky and funny and silly and doing our own thing, and you know, you'd probably be trying to kill us every turn.
I have no imagination to do this.
You'd be surprised because it's just you pick a character.
Yeah, but I can do that in Baldur's Gate or Skyrim or things like that.
Yeah, but remember, that's they're all effectively all based off this because it's not that hard. Like, you'll say, oh,
it's visuals. I'm not being me. I can play all the characters.
Well, you're not being you.
Once.
You'd be like, you'd be whatever character you've built. No. But it's kind of like they'll tell you what the person said, and then you're like, persuade them to do this, or no. I want to attack them. And all you have to do is roll a dice to decide whether it worked or not. You have different stats that, you know, help you. So if you're saying I want to persuade them and your persuasion's higher, then you've got a better chance of doing it. My intimidation was low and I kept trying to intimidate people, and my intimidation was +2, so if I rolled anything that wasn't good, it was a fail basically, whereas my persuasion was very high, so anything I rolled I got a +8 on it, so it was like very easy for me to persuade people. So yeah, it's funner than it probably sounds. I reckon Kev and Pab would like it more because
Nerd.
You're put off by the numbers and whatnot, but I think we'd all have a good time if we had a good DM guiding us.
What the heck's a DM?
Defensive midfielder.
Master,
what? What?
Defensive midfielder.
A DM is like a Twitter thing to me. DM.
No, it's a defensive midfielder. Declan Rice is a good example.
Okay, I don't.
Were you with Declan Rice?
You confused me now.
Yeah, I was. It was Declan Rice that was running it.
Oh, I might come along then.
Exactly. I mean, that's a good way we should do this. We should have it, Kev, that we're on Twitch. Declan Rice is our DM. Me, you and Pab.
Okay, if Declan Rice is the DM in this game, I will play it. They are okay. My terms.
I am going to try my best to pull a sheepdog and get Declan Rice to be our DM in a one shot that will probably take like 3 or 4 goes.
Excellent. I'm in. On those terms only.
Excellent.
Right, what other games have you rascals been playing?
Nothing.
That felt like an hour-long review of EGX.
I've seen like the reviews for Spider-Man 2 that is out on Friday. I already have a code. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, because I've got my new PlayStation. My Spider-Man PlayStation.
Are all very high. That's all I have. Apparently you can glide now. So it's a bit like Superman apparently, and then I turned it off the review because I want to wait for Friday, but it's got the high reviews. Why it wasn't at EGX I do not know,
because they don't need to be. Guess
that's true.
That's what the answer is. Yeah, they don't need to be there,
but Xbox, they should have been.
PlayStation, none of them need to be there, so they're never going to come back. They learnt during COVID, they don't need to be there. I understand. I've moaned a lot for the last hour, but I do understand why they're not there, because they've grown beyond it, and EGX needs to figure out what it is now. But anyway, back to that. I'm going to get off my soapbox.
I've got it, so I'm just waiting for Midnight Friday, and then I'll be playing it, and I'll let you know at some point if it's worth buying. But I'm sure people who like it, who like Spider-Man, has pre-ordered or will get it on the day. But that is it. I have not been gaming because I was ill. And then we've been very cold in the house because we have no heating. So I've been shivering on the sofa. So back to
we've also been else. Away a lot, haven't we, since the last episode? We've barely been at home.
We went away for a weekend.
And then we were away for 2 weeks before that as well. In the last month, you've not spent a lot of time at home.
That is true. The Spider-Man game at Disney is excellent. It's the best. Mm-hmm. I wish that was one that I could play at home. That I could be Spider-Man. I could use my actual arms and have webs come out of them. It was the best game.
Well, you'd think that's something they could bring to PlayStation VR.
You would think, wouldn't you? It was so good. So good. Like Tim Holland was there. Tom Holland was there. He was giving me a chat.
He was French.
He was very French. I will give Tom Holland that. He was very French.
It was the French Tom Holland, Tim Holland.
But, oh my God, the experience in there, being a spider person with web, was so good. Kevin didn't like it.
Have we already talked about this on the podcast? I feel like we might have done. We haven't. Okay, continue then. I'm not sure whether it's a conversation we had in real life at EGX or on the podcast.
Yes, we did have a conversation at the weekend.
Okay, continue then, Anna.
I was just making sure. I've told Pab that he has to come, so...
Oh, yeah, we're taking Pabby to Disneyland instead of EGX next year. EGX next year, Disneyland.
I need someone who was better than Kevin, some random people playing this game with me, because they were letting the... Because, like, you play as a four-player, like four people in a cab. And the other Kevin and the other weird people were just letting me down. I was in like
$200,000. Halfway through, my point total was ahead of yours, but I got so travel sick for the second half, I just had to shut my eyes because I was going to throw up.
You all
but
let
I
me
was
down.
Good at the game. It just gave me horrible travel sickness. So next time we go, when Pabby's with us, I'll just take a travel sickness pill.
But the thing is,
they put your group on a
leaderboard, and I want to be on the leaderboard.
Yeah, we'll get on the sheepdog. You need to train up, and you can tag along as well. But no travel sickness allowed.
I was excellent at that when it was the Buzz Lightyear game in America.
Buzz Lightyear game's very different. I thrashed Anna at Buzz Lightyear, but she was
only
very good
because
Spider-Man.
They stopped, and you had found a spot that you could keep pressing.
The ride stopped halfway round with me next to a target, and you can shoot the targets multiple times. So while the ride was stopped, because they were, I don't know, getting someone on or off the ride, I just sat there and got like 300,000 points just shooting this target that was right next
so
to me.
So he didn't win, he cheated. Beautiful.
Well, I got the higher points, so cheating. That feels like a win to me.
Cheating, Kevin.
Sometimes you got to
cheat. Was there a rule that said he couldn't do that?
There was
Did it
not.
Say, don't
no, no, but we had stopped, so he should have stopped playing.
I mean, because
they could have turned the guns off if they wanted me to stop playing.
Well, you're a cheater.
Sounds like you didn't take advantage of.
Yeah, but all I'm doing at the moment, waiting for Spider-Man, is watching The Boys again. Well, watching The Boys. I only got like a few episodes in, so I'm watching that. It's quite good, The Boys.
Have you not gotten Gen V?
Huh?
Have you seen The Boys before?
No.
Oh, right, okay. Gen V's also out, so that's like the spin-off, I guess. It's like, so once you've
watched
all
three... I'm going to have to stop you all from talking about television. We're over an hour in already.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that's why I haven't been playing a lot of games, because I've been doing that, going to Disney and watching The Boys, and I didn't realise that The Boys were the group of people, not the superheroes, because they're called the Supes. I will end that now. There we go.
There we go. Sheepdog, have you got any more, or did you squadge all yours in with what you were saying before?
I'm all squadged. I mean, they've added parties into Pokemon Go, so you and Anna can play at the same time at home now. You could be
me and Dave. Me
games.
And Dave have already played together.
Yeah, I had a little go with Ben's account earlier, but I am looking forward to Comic-Con when I'm with y'all again, and we can party up.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
I do like to can we party down as well?
Yeah, we can party every
week.
Oh,
is that in that now? I didn't know that.
Just came out today.
Okay.
There you go.
You were hoovering the car at the time, so I figured it wasn't the right time to ask you to play with me.
Oh my God, is that what you were doing?
No!
You are so mean! You are so mean! Wow.
So, Pabby, what have you been playing?
Wow.
Nothing.
Oh, excellent. Let's wrap this up from here then.
Yeah, I've literally done... Very little. Like, I think last time I talked about Assassin's Creed Mirage that I'd played 2.5 to 3 hours of. And I have played about 7 to 8 hours of that now. Still enjoying it. Still like where it's going. I enjoy just wandering about the town. But yeah, like even that, I want to say, from time of recording, still probably a week ago from me last playing it, I have done very little game stuff because I'm busy. I'm busy.
I found
the time to play bits of Fortnite, little bits of Fortnite. I've played the... There is an Alan Wake level in Fortnite that just came out today, and I played that before we recorded the podcast because I thought it might have gotten us something, and it did get some XP, but it all runs in Fortnite game, but it's a created level in Fortnite, and it recaps the whole of Alan Wake 1 in preparation for Alan Wake 2 coming out in a few weeks.
In Fortnite?
Yeah, it's all Alan Wake assets from what I can tell. It looks like Alan Wake.
I thought Alan Wake 2 had already been out years ago.
No, it's out in 2 weeks. It's out on the day we go to Comic-Con.
That wasn't even at EGX.
That was
There's
American...
definitely been more than no, one no, Alan no. Wake game.
Alan Wake, American Nightmare. Was it American Nightmare? I think it was. That was like an add-on to Alan Wake. That was it.
What a stupid situation.
And then there was an Alan Wake expansion for Control. And then Alan Wake 2 is out in 2 weeks. But yes, it is a whole recap of the entire story, which is great for me because I'd never played Alan Wake. And now I don't need to.
I did.
Now I don't need to because I had the entire story told to me in a 20-minute gameplay, which was quite fun, where I had to use you get given a torch and you have to shine it on words and it creates the thing in front of you. So it creates rocks and bridges and boats and stuff like that, and then you go into the cabin, and then it replays the story of how he's trapped in the story.
Why is this in Fortnite? I don't understand.
Epic are publishing the new one, and obviously Epic owns Fortnite, and Alan Wake is in Fortnite now as a character, playable. So it's one of them things where it's just cross promotion to get people to make people aware that Alan Wake 2 is coming out soon.
And that play Fortnite want to play Alan Wake, they're two completely different kind of games.
Oh yeah, but let's say it's like Fortnite. You know how Roblox is, Anna.
I don't really know how.
Do you know
Roblox
the rough? Roblox, where it's like you go into Roblox and it's more like just a platform and people make levels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fortnite's like that now, with the Fortnite creation tools and stuff like that. People make work games into it.
It's not all about shooting anymore.
The main stuff is there. The main stuff by Epic is there. Save the World, the Fortnite Battle Royale is all still there.
Mm.
But then, because they've now got these Fortnite creation tools, people are making their old game modes and just uploading them, and people play them. And it's not about shooting. Some of them are just mazes. Some are just running around doing stuff. Some are like team deathmatch kind of things, like more akin to Call of Duty than actual Battle Royale. And people do all sorts of different things with it. And obviously someone, I think they made like a Mission Impossible one for when the Mission Impossible level came out, film came out a few months ago. And there was a whole Mission Impossible level in there. And now they've done an Alan Wake one in the run up to that.
But who's making these? Like is it the community, or is this Epic or whoever?
I think it's Epic, this one, because I think, like I say, Epic are publishing the Alan Wake 2, so they probably want to promote it as much as they can. But like I say, there are many different things in there that aren't just the Battle Royale and Save the World now. There's so much more to it. They have spread out to be much more of just a platform like Roblox is.
Fair enough.
So yeah, that's on there. It's probably there for the next few weeks, up until probably the end of Halloween, I imagine. If you want a primer on Alan Wake stuff, which I did because I hadn't played it. But other than that, I have literally played nothing. Like I say, we've played the stuff at EGX, and by the time this is out, we'll be playing Super Mario Wonder and not Spider-Man.
Marvelous. Well, boys and girls, it's going to be another couple of weeks now until you get another podcast from us, because as mentioned, we are at Comic-Con next week, but then theoretically should be back the week after. So bear with us. You know what it's like at this time of year. Long gone are the days where we're going to huddle around a microphone in a hotel room. You'll just have to wait, and we're going to have a much nicer time at Comic-Con than we had at EGX. That you can be damn sure. But if you do want to keep an eye on what we're up to online, or at the very least find out when the next episode appears, the best thing to do is follow at MGUK Podcast, or you can follow me at Lelujo.
And you can follow me at RB6K, where I'll probably be live tweeting my journey across the world, getting lost and ending up in the sea or something. You know how I am.
I'm Miss Lelujo. I'll be probably playing Spider-Man somewhere.
And out Pab 1986.
Do we all do a little sales pitch after our
season? Well, I just fancied it after you did.
Interesting. See you in a couple of weeks, boys and girls.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening, folks.